and then you're, and then, I'm just gonna be like, but then, we're gonna be like, no, no, I cleared it with Dalton first. It's cool. And then you're just like, no, you didn't. What is wrong with, like, I know, please stop. And then I just keep going. And I was like, eh, that's too much effort. And then I took a nap. Well, I took a nap instead. For life.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and our excitement tonight is brought to you by the
New Day.
Wow, that worked.
That did work. That was so much better than I thought it was going to
be. Act like you've been here before. So we're going to be like, oh, whoa, it actually worked.
Of course it worked.
There was a time Jesse and I tried to do the intro together. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And we botched it halfway through it. So
I thought it was because, well, it was really funny because you got onto him about knowing which order that, like, the layout was. And then you're the one that got it wrong.
I sometimes get confused about my own life. It's true. Hey, welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted with Dalton, Asa, Ali, and myself. And we're super excited because over the weekend, we got a special surprise and we have our good friend, Asa Gray, to thank for that. Asa, why don't you tell our listeners? Because we kind of kept it quiet. We didn't really mention it because we weren't sure it was going to happen. It did happen. It was fantastic. Please tell them what you did and what happened.
So a couple, probably about a month or two ago, whenever we first found out that WWE was coming to Cape Girardeau, which they did, this past weekend, was I went on Twitter and sent Xavier Woods just a couple messages that said, hey, I work with the retro video game store. We're all really big fans. It would be awesome if you could come in when you guys come into town.
Because he's a big video game fan, obviously.
Because he's a huge video game fan.
Yeah.
Which is Up, Up, Down, Down, one of my favorite things on YouTube
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yes.
And so he
And I don't want to cut you off, but I just, the more I think about Up, Up, Down, Down, what a great gimmick it is. To see the wrestlers that we love interacting with video games like that, there's literally no other Let's Play like it on the internet.
And honestly, each other too, because one of the things that I've only recently paid attention to is that how good of an interviewer he is.
Yeah.
Just like him being able to keep conversations going with people while also, you know, playing these games, teaching them how to play games. And then, like, it's really informative. It's people that I wouldn't normally really go out of my way to see an interview for. Someone like Ryback or Santino Marella. But, like, when they were on his show, like, just...
They were entertaining because they were being themselves.
Well, yeah, it was interesting to hear, you know, their perspective on video games as well as just other stuff that's, like, Santino was really interesting talking about his martial arts spectacular center.
And that really drew them into the store. Now, go on with your story.
I sent him a message saying, like, hey, you guys are going to be in town. If you wanted to come by, that would be awesome. I tried to get us, tried to be like, we even have a gameplay area if you needed to record Up, Up, Down, Down.
Which sounds like we were just being nice, but in reality, we desperately wanted him to do it.
Yeah, it was just, it's purely selfish.
Yeah.
And so he almost immediately, like, it was within an hour or two, he started following me and then sent me a direct message on Twitter saying, that would be cool. Let's keep in touch. And then a couple days before the show, I sent him up kind of a follow-up message because I didn't want to sound like super like, you coming, right? You're going to come visit?
In your New Day shirt.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know,
no.
With your unicorn horn on.
In my New Day shirt.
Still in my car. But so we, and then he sent me a message saying that he was going to try to come by, but, you know, we weren't 100% sure when it was. And then on Saturday, about 4 o'clock.
And I want to set the stage for this because we didn't mention it much on the show. Because, again, we didn't want to look embarrassed if it didn't happen. We didn't want to be like, yeah, we got this coming, and then it didn't come. So on Saturday, everybody was here at Gaming Ground, 709 Broadway, for all your gaming needs. Mm-hmm. They do pre-orders, and we have a Smash tournament starting tomorrow.
Except for consoles.
Shh, don't talk about it. Anyway.
Everybody came in to hang out. Zach Price, former co-host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, was here hanging out with us all day. Everybody's waiting to see Xavier Woods. Mm-hmm. I did not think it was going to happen. I wanted it desperately, but I am a pessimist, as everyone knows.
And especially, like, the delay that it took to get even any kind of response, which he's busy, and now he's got however many people that he's following and talking to, and he's got so much stuff going on. But, yeah, it really kind of felt like it's like, it would have been neat, but probably not.
But if not, we still hung out all day and had fun.
Right.
Yeah. Well, except for the beginning.
No, we all had fun. It's
all of us.
We fun the whole level. It's fine.
So I'm sitting there in the chair. I just got off the phone with Lindsay, who was like, hey, I'm done with work. Can you pick me up and take me home? Yeah, sure. Why not? Mm-hmm. And as I hang up the phone, literally, I forget who it was. I think it was
Tanner
and Zach.
Yeah. Tanner and Zach. They were like, Xavier Woods just walked by. And now we were all like,
he's at the window. He's here.
And we were all like, mm-hmm.
Well, and because it was throughout the day, like they, every once in a while, they'd be like, oh, there he is. Not really.
Yeah, the false.
And so we heard the door open and
it was just some rando.
Some people came in. And then like almost immediately after, they're like, oh, Xavier Woods is here. Xavier Woods is here. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I just saw the door. Like, no, really. And I'm like, I was about to get mad. It's like,
yeah,
all
right,
yeah, cause come on.
I said, I was like, I was 3 seconds away from cussing Tanner right out. Cause I was already worked that day. I was tired. I was just here to hang out cause I didn't think it was going to happen either.
Yeah.
And then Tanner, it was the first time it happened to me. Or no, it happened twice cause I think Zach did it twice. Tanner's like, he's here. Xavier's here. And I was about to be Tanner.
Yeah, nobody believed it.
Yeah. And I was about to yell.
The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. Right. And then everybody got really quiet.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, we turned and then around. I saw it. Like I just kind of lifted my head up and I saw him and I turned around and I was like, that's Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
And then Zach was looking at me and he was like, do we stand up? And I was like, well, I'm going to stand up now.
Cause he just strolled in the store in his red hoodie,
right.
Looking like a normal everyday guy.
It was weird because like I didn't hear Big E screaming, Gaming Grounds. Like,
don't
he just walked into a building. Like, yeah. I just
like
assumed.
A normal person.
Right. That's the weirdest thing.
And we all get up. Well, actually some of us got up. Some of us kept playing games because I think they were starstruck.
Cause Jesse and I were in the middle of a Call of Duty match, which we both looked at each other and like, this is the fastest I've ever wanted to lose a match.
Yeah. I get up, I walk behind the counter, and I go into like, okay, what do I say to Xavier Woods? Because you don't want to lead off with, you're Xavier Woods. Of course he is. He knows who he is. He wakes up every day Xavier Woods.
You know what would have been funny? I should have been like, dude, what's Consequences Creed doing here?
Or if we had just would have started chanting.
No, that would not have been funny.
If we just started chanting, New Day sucks. You know? But I walk behind the counter, I look at him, and he's with his girlfriend, I'm assuming. And I say, hey, do you need any help with anything today, man? And he kind of looks at me and smirks. And I smirk back and I go, I know exactly who you are. I'm just trying not to make a big deal out of this. At which point he walks up to me and shakes my hand. I didn't ask for it. He shook my hand and started talking to me like he was a person. I know we keep repeating that and you're like, well, of course he's a person.
Right.
But you got to understand, like, it's not every day you interact with a guy you see on TV every week.
Well, and to me especially, like, I was super nervous because he's not really just, if it would have been, you know, like one of the Usos coming in or like just someone else that's a wrestler, like that, while as cool as that would be, and I would love to meet just about anyone that works for WWE.
Yeah.
It's different because he really is someone that I look up to in the sense that he's, you know, worked so long and so hard to get to where he is.
Yeah.
Not only get there, but completely excel at it because how many times have we said the New Day?
Best part about,
about
wrestling.
Yeah.
And then
on top of that, like he has this other, like, so he's passionate about wrestling. Like that's clear. But then at the same time, he's able to build up his own YouTube channel.
Which is doing phenomenal, by the
way.
Yeah,
and say what you will about WWE, you know, helping back it, whatever. Like, I honestly think that's irrelevant. But so he's also passionate about video games very clearly and just, you know, nerd culture in general. And he's able to do such a great job embracing that and doing his own thing with it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's inspiring to see that someone can do something like that.
Yeah.
And like, all joking aside, I know I just made that Consequences Creed joke. I remember when he debuted in Impact. Cause I used to watch Impact all the time. And like, I remember him coming out in the
red, white, and blue
Creed
look.
Yeah. And just thinking that this guy could be a star. Like, I've been a fan of his since like 2009.
Yes, yeah. I remember thinking before I actually saw him, I just remember seeing a picture of him. With the Apollo Creed outfit, and his name was Consequences Creed. And I thought, that is the coolest name I've ever heard for a wrestler. And a lot of people think that he started in WWE and he started, you know, with the New Day and stuff. Like, you're right, Dalton.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He started back in TNA, back when it was semi-good, and has worked his way to the main roster and has worked his ass off in every aspect of his life between the gaming channel and this.
And, like,
and for him to come in and just talk to us, because he talked to all of us, like, we were just friends. Like, he was so casual.
Also, super shout out because he did take a picture with the posted art that Allie did.
Yes.
Of the up, up, down, down logo.
It's important to note that part of the draw to get him in here was we had Allie. This was all part of our scheme.
Yeah.
That we had Allie do up, up, down, down art in the window that we change out every month at the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
Yeah.
So he comes in and one of the first things he does is he turns and looks at it and he goes, that's sick. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're like, oh yeah, we did that. We didn't know you were coming.
And which he had seen it because I tweeted it to him. I was like, I didn't even tweet it to him. I just like, I posted it on Twitter and then just tagged him in it. So like on the off, and he saw it and liked it. So.
Which he took a picture with it. And if you go to our Gaming Grounds website or if you go to Facebook page, you'll see the picture of him with the up, up, down logo.
Or if you follow him.
Yeah, if you follow him on Instagram, it is on there.
There are so many people worldwide that have seen Allie's posted our notes. So congratulations to Allie, who is a celebrity now. The biggest celebrity amongst us, unfortunately. really cool for me. I have to mention it because I felt so blessed that this happened. I take Lindsay home. I didn't get to talk to him, but for 10 seconds. We said hi. I said, welcome to the store. Here's the peanut gallery. This is Asa. He's the one that brought you here. I have to go. I really want to stay and talk Sailor Moon with you, which he says, dude, I love Sailor Moon. At which point I squealed and left. And I took Lindsay home. Lindsay felt awful because she thought she drugged me away from this great event. And I did too, but I thought I got my handshake. I talked to him. That's it. I come back and who do I see in the parking lot leaving? But Xavier Woods is out there talking to Double H, Hunter Hendricks, you know, from pro wrestling and from, Real Rock 99.3 with the fix with, Double H, Hunter Hendricks. I'm plugging him again because, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I walk up, Hunter and I nod at each other. I talk to Xavier for like 15 minutes. He's asking me about my life. He's asking me about my relationship. We're talking like me and Chad would talk. And the reason I picked Chad, no, there's a story behind it.
All right.
Chad is black. No, there's more of a story. No, there's more of a story.
Bad way to start this off.
No, when I posted the picture on Facebook of me and Xavier Woods together, it automatically tagged him as Chad.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a joke.
I do remember
that. At which point I said, way to go home, Facebook. You're racist.
Facebook's that uncle that we all are ashamed of.
But it was so fantastic to talk to Xavier Woods and a class act. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. For people that don't like the New Day, you have to respect Xavier Woods.
Plus he was like clearly interested in the store. Like he took the time, like I know you left, but like he took the time to go through just about every section that we had.
He went around the entire store and looked at and asked us questions.
And only had one customer follow him and,
which was, it was that person that came in, like, almost immediately was wearing, like, a DX shirt, and he was, like...
He was starstruck. Yeah. As soon as I saw him...
But I will say to that guy's credit, like, he was very clearly starstruck, but he didn't, like, actively, like, hound him or anything.
Yeah. He followed him around a little bit, but, he was pretty cool about it. That was just a really, really cool moment. Like, I got to say, like, two words to him, and that's all I needed. I think the best thing from that whole conversation is whenever you showed Allie's sign that we had, which was a trombone. Again, good job, Allie. It said Francesca 2, Diva of the Year.
Yep.
And we showed it to him, and he was like, that's sick. And then he was like, do me a favor, don't let Kofi see it.
Well, no, because, he told us, he's like, I'll make sure Kofi doesn't rip that one up. Because apparently something they've been doing at house shows, which they did at the Cape one, which we'll get into.
To the sign guy.
Is that Kofi will actually, like, pick out really elaborate, like, fan signs of them. Like, not even, like,
Fair
New Day
signs.
Sucks signs, but, like, New Day Rocks. Like, pro New Day signs. And we'll rip it up.
And Big E eats them.
And then,
That was fantastic.
At least at this one, Big E started chewing on it and spit it out on the
apron.
Then
he said he was, like, he did it to, like, this, like, 8-year-old kid. And he was like, Kofi, why did you do that? And he's like, I think it's funny.
And that was one of the funniest things too, is it was just Kofi just did it because he didn't like know. He clearly, like, Xavier clearly didn't know he was going to, because he's like, what the hell was that?
Like, why?
Why'd you just do that?
Kofi did an interview with Hunter over at Real Rock for The Fix.
Which, that is on his Facebook page.
Yeah. So go listen to that. That sounded great. And, I agree. A handshake and a brief moment with him would have been great. Mm-hmm. Talking to him for an extended period of time blew my mind.
Yeah.
Xavier, if you're listening to this, which you're not, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us and hanging out. And then we all went to the WWE live show that night here at Cape Girardeau at the Show Me Center.
Yep.
And I say, if you're a wrestling fan, but you're jaded to the product now, it doesn't matter how bad the product is now. When you see it live, it goes away. You just feel the excitement. To me.
It can. I will say, like, I honestly enjoyed the house show more than I enjoyed Battleground.
Because it's more about seeing them and being appreciative of them.
Just being there,
and
the house shows, the pressure is clearly off.
Yeah, they're just having fun.
And what's great was everyone that was there, I don't feel like anyone didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, everyone there did a great job. And, one of the things too that's great about the house shows is it doesn't necessarily have to move the storyline forward.
Yeah.
Because that's the weakest part of the product right now, in at least my opinion, is
The story.
It's, you know, the talent is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the strongest rosters they've had in a really long time.
If not ever.
Yeah. And so it's just, and plus we got a couple of surprises.
We did, which we're going to talk about.
Which I actually, because I know Chris Edelman, asked me about the card, or he, on one of the statuses that we posted, he's like, oh, give me a rundown of the card. And I actually I took actual notes for it.
I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. The opening match was Neville versus Barrett.
Which
I didn't see most of because we went out to the merchandise stands, which was a mistake because we didn't buy anything. Oh, no, we did. No, we went to the merchandise stands before the show, which was a mistake. And then we went back during that match.
Yeah.
And I saw the first 5 minutes of it, I think.
Fun match.
Well, as I was out there, I heard Neville's music start playing, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
So, I missed the Red Arrow.
Seeing the Red Arrow live is crazy.
Stop it.
Also, I was really excited to see, be able to see King Barrett because I love Wade Barrett.
Oh, yeah. We popped so hard.
And there's a good chance we won't see him again at a WWE
event. At a live
event.
Yeah. I also, the entire time I was kind of surprised that, Stardust wasn't there because Eden Styles was the ring announcer.
He was in Louisville.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so was AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Which I kind of kicked myself for.
No, it's fine.
I'd love to have seen AJ Styles.
Because we have the surprise.
I was
going to
say, but we
up.
Had so, we had a lot, like looking back at what this card was, like it was great. But yeah,
I think the second match was probably the only one I didn't truly care about because it was the Social Outcasts versus
Bo Dallas and Heath Slater of the Social Outcasts, which, so they came out first.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, who are they going to face? Because Usos, Dudleys, and New Day are advertised for a tag match. I know for sure the Lucha Dragons are in Louisville. So are like the other half of
Social Outcasts.
So
the
other half of Social Outcasts and the other half of the League of Nations.
Wait, were the Usos scheduled for Cape?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a triple threat.
It was supposed to be a triple threat, yeah.
Which
that's
if you
right.
go back, if you go back and
the
listen
to the Dudleys is what I mean. Where were the Dudleys? Does anyone know?
Why they just had the night off,
yeah.
probably.
Because if you listen to the interview that Hunter did with Kofi, he even asked him, like, so, you know, you're scheduled for a triple threat match, between the Usos and Dudleys. Like, does that change your strategy? But it ended up not being, they didn't get there. But
card
so,
subject to change.
So I was just like, oh man, who do you think it's going to be? Do you think we could end up seeing Enzo and Cass? Do you think they're going to be here?
Because their shirt was on sale.
Don't do it. I don't care.
No, it's just a very quick, when we were out at the merchandise stands and we heard them come in, I also said, I swear, I told Allie, if Enzo and Cass come out, if I hear their music next, I'm going to fucking flip this table because I am going to be so pissed I didn't get to see their entrance live.
Right.
Now
but
you
then
may
it,
go.
But then
and
it
don't,
ended
don't
up,
shush me.
And then it ended up being
Darren
Young.
Millions of
scholars. Yeah, millions of scholars. Darren Young and Damian Sandow, which we were excited to see Damian Sandow live.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is millions of dollars that or making moves or whatever the hell the music's called, it hits first. And we both look at each other and like, Titus? And I was like, no, Darren. And then the second I said Darren comes out, he gets a little, and then I just get way too excited for my own good because I'm like, Damian Sandow's
next.
Because
you remembered that they were a tag team in a pre-show for the Royal Rumble.
Because I'm fucking crazy and I remember things like that.
He's the wrestling professor.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas and Heath Slater actually won that match.
Which that's all I saw of it. We came back in and it was almost immediately.
It was okay.
Missed all of
Heath
it.
Heath Slater is a lot of fun to watch. I've made it pretty
Slater
clear. I'm not a huge fan of Bo Dallas. But them doing a victory lap together, like after one drop kick or something.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was pretty good. After that, Rusev comes out with the flag and the return of the Invisible Eagles. Grace
also, did you not love the fact that Rusev's flag now has his picture on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lana looked, I know it's good without saying, but she looked incredible live. I couldn't believe how incredible she looked live.
Yeah. And then Lana sang her
You
song.
Are My Monster. Yeah.
You are my monster.
All right. So after that happened, I went to the merch stand because I was like, all right, Ace, I'm going to get my stuff and your stuff and you will pay me back because
Dalton didn't really care, but I didn't want to miss a Rusev match because I love Rusev so much.
Yeah. And it was Fandango.
Yeah. And then Fandango comes out and I was like, okay, well, I mean, cool. Monster Rusev gets an easy win. Like, I'm
and
fine
he
with
did.
That.
He really did.
Immediately.
So, I had the exact opposite moment where I'm at the stand and then I start hearing, like Rusev's music.
45 seconds.
Yeah.
I
just hit the line and then I heard it and I was like, I swear if New Day comes out next, I'm going to kill somebody. And then I heard, I'm looking for another challenge and I heard, Feed Me More. And I was like, sweet, I'm at the merch stand. I don't have to deal with this.
which is unfair to say because Ryback and Rusev put on a good match.
No, yeah, it was a really good match.
Yeah.
We give Ryback so much shit, but he is a solid talent. He really is.
We? You mean we. Not
I mean you.
Rusev,
I mean you, Dalton. Man.
Rusev just obliterates Fandango, gets on the mic, demands an actual challenger, open challenge. Ryback comes out.
Face Ryback,
which is fair because literally the turn isn't even a complete heel turn yet, and it's after
it's a house show.
After Raw. Yeah, it's a house show.
It's
usually
a house
that
show.
Kind of storyline doesn't catch up immediately. Right. But so then Ryback beats Rusev, and up next is just like the following match is a tag team contest, and so I'm expecting it's the tag team the title match maybe before intermission. Fucking Enzo and Cass.
Now they're the whole show. We were up in not bad seats, by the way, for last minute seats.
Yeah.
And there's a woman and her kid sitting next to us. Kid's probably, Allie, how old was the kid? Probably six.
Yeah, six.
6 years old. He's sitting there, he's talking to me the entire show.
It's
and
adorable.
It was kind of adorable. He was actually an adorable kid. And when Enzo and Cass come out, we do the whole, you can't teach that.
Yeah, right.
And by we, I mean me and Allie.
Yeah.
Because nobody else up there did.
Same with us. Like, we were the only people in our section doing
and
it.
The kid looks at me as I'm doing the chant and he goes, have you seen these guys before? I'm like, yeah, it's they're on NXT. It's great. Which apparently was on the all over the internet was how Cape Girardeau no-sold Enzo and Cass.
The only thing I saw was on that Cage Side Seats thing.
At least two people sent me that article, too. Yeah. It was like, whoa.
But here's the deal. Is like, one, they were not – because the article says they were greeted with absolute silence.
Not true at all.
Which is absolutely 100%
Asa and I
were
yelling at the top of our lungs.
And I could see the ringside people were pretty excited, too.
You could see people doing the hand motion.
Don't get me wrong. They did not get a roof-shattering reaction. They got a less of a reaction than I wanted them to.
Yeah.
But they got, if not more of one, they got the exact same reaction that Fandango got, that Darren Young got, that Damian Sandow got.
But
and you know what? And you know why? It's because they reacted big to Big Show and Kane and Neville.
The vets.
They reacted to people that WWE treats like a big deal.
Yeah.
The people who WWE's like, why should you care about these people? People didn't care about because this house show was a very casual fan environment.
Yeah, it's Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yeah, which most house shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, when they reported, it's like, oh, it was absolute silence. One, it was just flat out incorrect, and two,
it's expected.
Why would you expect? Yeah. Like, they're not gonna get a Hulk Hogan reaction.
And speaking of huge reactions, Big Show.
Which
holy
smokes. Enzo and Cass come out. They do their standard introduction.
Ascension come out.
Which was amazing, because getting to do that live was just...
Oh, yeah, that was probably...
Because me and Dalton were the only people standing up. Like, we had the same thing. There's a guy a couple rows in front of us that turned and was like, so, are they on NXT?
You didn't do it with the accent, but yeah, that's what he said.
and so, we get to do the reaction. Ascension comes out, which really surprised me at first, because I always get their music and Seth Rollins' music confused.
I really love their music,
so that
too.
Music hit, and I was just like, what?
No, calm down. It's just the Ascension.
Oh, yeah. And they beat the Ascension, in a good match.
Yeah.
And, to Enzo and Cass's credit, they got the crowd behind them.
They did. Well,
they
how can
really
you not
did.
When Enzo, I mean, Big Cass is obviously going to get a reaction because he's huge.
Right.
And huge people
he's
in wrestling.
He's 7 feet tall.
You can't teach that.
You can't teach that.
But Enzo is by far the most entertaining person to
really?
See live. Because he's like the little dog in the old cartoon that's just running around the big dog going, where are we going?
He just never stops.
Yeah.
Because he's a certified G and a bona fide stud.
And you can't teach that.
So after they beat the Ascension, the lights go out, the Wyatt family sounder hits, Wyatts are beating down Enzo and Cass, Big Show comes out for the save. And
biggest reaction of the night.
Second biggest reaction, because the biggest reaction was when Big Show tagged in.
Okay.
And the crowd went banana.
So what we were supposed to get was Big Show versus Braun Strowman, which thankfully got turned into Big Show and Enzo and Cass versus Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman.
perfect way to use Big Show.
Right.
To help
you wanna come
elevate
in and
Big
You
want to
come in and pick on the new guys.
And
why don't we do a six-man tag?
I'm really glad. When Show came out, I was really afraid there was going to be some smark out in the crowd that was going to chant, please retire or something at him. And I'm so glad they didn't.
No,
I mean, if they did, we couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
No, and also, and so, Big Show only wrestled like the last 45 seconds of that match too. Like it was Enzo and Cass going back and forth. Enzo with an amazing hot tag to Big Show. And when he finally got that tag, the place came unglued.
House on fire.
Like that was that was a Raw pay-per-view reaction.
Did you notice that, cause I mentioned this to Allie many times during the show, cause I kept noticing the Wyatts doing it. Mm-hmm. Did you notice them constantly flexing?
Yeah, I know. I mentioned it too.
Luke Harper spent like a solid half of that match
just flexing. Because I was like, Luke Harper is acting a lot more
heelish.
Well, not even heelish, he's being more of a showman.
Yeah,
he was doing
more goofy
stuff.
He isn't just kind of in the background every now and then coming and punching someone in the face.
Yeah.
He's actually
showing
interacting with the crowd.
And Bray Wyatt did it too at the end of the show.
Yeah.
He started doing it. And I thought, what? This has to be something. Like, this has to be something between them.
Because
every time Luke Harper did it, it was hilarious.
And people booed and it got him to be booed.
It just kept flexing. And then when he did the standoff with Big Cass and they kept smacking themselves.
Yeah.
He did the King Kong.
Just fantastic.
Yeah, it was like a schoolyard fight.
Oh, so much fun.
Which, and I don't want to spend the entire show talking about it, but,
can we just say,
well, this was Allie's first, I want to say it's Allie's first WWE event live. Mm-hmm. She started watching the show here with us because she's a part of the group.
Right.
And then, she does the show with us now for some reason. Right. Because she's always here, so we thought, give her a mic.
Yeah. You gotta give the producer a mic.
And now she's legitimately a wrestling fan, to an extent, I think.
Yeah.
And
more this so is than the average person would
yes,
be.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And she was at the show and she had a great time, which right. I am very, very happy yes. with, by the way.
And can we just say that whenever Big Show came in for the save, you and I both, like, I even said, I was like, I wonder how, like, big Cass is gonna look like. Cause he's 7 foot tall.
Oh yeah. My God.
He's not as meaty as Big Show is.
Right.
But man.
Just as tall.
You couldn't see Big Show's head, which is pretty impressive because it's a big head.
Yeah.
And seeing them stand next to Enzo, it looked like two regular people next to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. You know? And then so, but Big Show, Enzo and Cass get the win, celebrate together.
Big Show's holding their hands up with Carmella. Yeah. It was
clearly
great.
Clearly putting them over. I really wish I would have been able to grab a picture of that.
I only took a few pictures. That was one of them.
I got two pictures. One of Wyatt's entrance and one of the New Day.
That was a decision that I made was I wasn't going to try to take a bunch of pictures. I would rather just like watch it.
Enjoy the show.
Next match was Divas Championship, Charlotte versus Becky.
Which was a good match.
Really good match. Really
Here's what pissed me off about that match. Mm-hmm. The guy behind me and Allie, I don't know if Allie, if you heard him say it, but he, during the match said, please let this match in. Like, he was just complaining constantly. And then when it was over, he was like, God, women can't wrestle. And he got up and left with his wife. They never came back.
Good.
Which I applauded. I thought, you jackass.
Yeah.
I know I make jokes about Charlotte, but
it was a good match.
Genetically, she is superior to most women wrestlers.
They were actually wrestling, which was a little bit more than some of the other matches that we've seen.
Yeah, they were actually doing, like, you could see that on TV.
And they got good time, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a 3-minute Raw filler match. It was they got time to actually tell a story and wrestle a match, and it was a really good match.
I think the best match on the card.
Yeah.
Like of actual wrestling, it was the best actual wrestling match. But Ace is looking at me like he doesn't agree here.
Only because...
Well, like, are you talking about Kane and Bray Wyatt? Like,
No.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Enzo, Cass, and Big Show tag match, I think that was the best, like... I mean, and even Neville and Barrett, that was, like, such a... I mean, it was formulaic, but there were a lot of, like, surprise spots, like, near falls that I wasn't expecting for a house show.
I think my problem, my argument against it would just be that Barrett, Neville was shorter.
Yeah.
And the tag match, there was so much showboating.
Yeah.
Whereas Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, they went constant.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't
and
slow
I'm not
down.
I'm not taking anything away from the match. It's
absolutely
like,
not.
I wouldn't necessarily fully plant my flag, and that was the best match of the night.
You wouldn't give it your lock of the week.
Right.
Okay.
But it was a great match. And then second to the last match, New Day versus the Usos. Which Kofi was?
Oh my God!
I thought Kofi was seizing. Just how much he was gyrating and
he threw it. Yeah, he threw a hip. Like.
So what happened is Kofi gets in between the ropes, and Big E's on one side, Xavier's on the other. They're pointing at him, and he starts shaking, twerking,
like he's vibrating. I think he's going to enter the Speed Force.
He was the Flash for a second.
He went in between the ropes, he didn't go between the top and the middle. He was between the middle and the bottom.
He was
at full like accordioned himself.
Yeah.
It was insane, and he. Oh my God, he vibrated so much.
And honestly, and that was when Big E was, they took the sign, they ripped it up, Big E was just standing on the apron.
For the whole
thing.
Until
he got tagged in, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is they didn't get to talk.
That was my only disappointment of the night, is that they didn't get a microphone to talk.
Oh my God, if you're gonna have a house show, with the New Day, who else is going to talk it up better?
Like, but honestly, you have to admit, they didn't even need to with that reaction that they got. And
I think they got
Big E like grinding on Eden Styles.
Oh my God, that was fantastic.
Other than Big Show, when Big E first went Gabe Gerardo, I think that was the biggest pop.
Yeah,
because the crowd went nuts, and then it was kind of quiet for their intro a little. Through the match, the crowd was going nuts.
Yeah,
and the only time they did get to speak, I think you heard it at the very end when they walked to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Woods walked back out, and he said like, "You suck."
Yeah,
he just screamed at the crowd and walked off. That was very funny to me.
And really good match. The only thing that really bothered me was so the New Day win. Usos attack the New Day after.
Well, the Usos are heel.
No,
right?
No. The Usos are the good guys.
No. The New Day is the good guys. They have the power positivity.
Yeah. That did kind of annoy me a little bit. And the people cheered.
This isn't our first time complaining about that either. About
losers.
The Usos beating up the New Day.
And then the main event was Kane and Bray Wyatt, which I felt really bad because so many people were leaving.
Yeah.
To try to beat the traffic.
Which I did not. I wanted to see the whole thing.
It's a Kane match. I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I was so excited to be able to see Kane again because
Kane looks so good. He still looks so good. The only thing I hated was that one, the Firefly entrance, even though they still did it at the house show, wasn't as good because of the way the arena is.
Yeah, but
it's still impressive. And the other thing was I know it's a small thing, but the fact that Kane didn't have any fire. Which I want to feel that fire.
I do
man.
Too, but I was it was a house show, so I was expecting it not yeah. to be. But
it was a great show, and it was
great
a lot
show,
of fun.
So
live.
Much fun.
After the show, I got a text from Jordan, who used to be on the pro, you know, Podzilla and Pro Wrestling, and we haven't hung out in forever. And then me and him hung out for 10 minutes. I know a lot. I know Hunter was there. I didn't get to see Hunter. Louie was probably there.
I got
I'm
to
assuming.
See Lee.
Lee was there, Lee Hodges. Mm-hmm. A lot of a lot of people we know and love were there. Barry was there. It's Barry, right?
No, yeah. Barry's my friend. Barry wasn't there.
No. Hunter's friend, Barry.
Oh, his
Jake.
Name is Jake.
Jake, yeah. Bear. Is it Bear?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know
his
last name.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, did you ever get to meet him?
I know.
He did the show with us the one time, me and Hunter, and he was funny as hell.
Yeah, that was, I was
He kept
there,
slamming the table, but he was funny as hell.
I wasn't there that week.
Jake, I didn't forget your name, by the way. I know you're listening.
I hope.
I have notes all over the place here. I get confused sometimes.
Well, which we can kind of rapid fire because a couple, like, one of the big things that I wanted to, go ahead and finish.
I think the favorite part of my show, my favorite part of the show wasn't anything that happened in the show. There was like this 6 or 7 year old girl who's just as happy as could be at the show. Cheering all the faces. She was being a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Like, was the fan that Vince McMahon wanted there. Like, same to, like, this little child that was next to you.
Yeah. The difference
I know what you want to talk about.
The difference
I'm going to mention it briefly.
We were chanting, like, we weren't cheering, like, we were being internet fans, but we kind of were, like, we were cheering everybody.
Yeah.
But the New Day match, we were chanting New Day rocks the whole time.
Oh, us too. Me and Allie.
Or, like, every once in a while, she turned after I went, New Day, during, like, the one quiet part during the match.
So that was you.
Yes.
Yeah. She turns, and, like, she did it during the Charlotte Flair match. She was cheering, but I turned her on that one. She was cheering for Charlotte at the end, but we were cheering the heels the whole time, and she would turn and look at us like we were the devil.
Oh, yeah, she shot daggers at us the whole time.
And that's amazing.
So great. Yeah. Cause like we would look at her and smile and then like her dad would look at us and like,
and
smile.
He kind of chuckled.
Yeah. Cause
he was being like really antagonistic. Like he would boo faces and cheer heels. Whereas we cheered literally just about everybody.
Yeah. Same here.
Like,
think we booed anybody.
Even Ryback. Like I was like, I'm not going to like, I'll be quiet, but I won't boo. Cause that's just.
I am going to mention the thing you're thinking I'm going to mention, but I do want to say one of my first, if not the first house show I ever went to here in Cape Girardeau, there was also like a 7-year-old girl there, but instead of doing the thing there, and you can see how much more PG it is now, she was yelling Trish is a hoe and stuff like that. Yeah, this little girl, it's really bugged me. No, what Ace is looking at me for is, and I mentioned it to Allie, and I know you guys saw it too, is they show pictures of the wrestlers up there and it's like, who is this and all that. When they showed Roman Reigns, the boos were so loud. Yeah. It was deafening.
The only thing
they booed at,
not casual fan, was them booing Roman Reigns. Yeah.
And they booed him hard. His picture
got
booed.
And Dalton's laughing because I did a thing where, because what they were doing is they were like showing silhouettes of the wrestler and then it's like, who is this? Oh,
it wasn't a blacked out silhouette.
No,
it was a fuzzy version
of it. Just, it's like
when
they try, it was like a much less extreme version of when they're trying to hide someone's face.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't even remember. I think it might have been John Cena's, but like whoever's it was, I just yelled, "It's Pikachu!"
Right in my ear.
Right in his ear.
And this motherfucker made me deaf because he would just chant stuff. Like they were counting down from 10 to 5 or 10 to 1
to go back to the show.
Yeah, and he just yells 5 right here.
5.
Yeah, he yells, "It's Pikachu!" And I lost my shit. Like I started laughing again. The little 7-year-old girl's looking at him.
She was just confused. She's like, "Where?"
Yeah, he started because he's laughing at that. I'm crying from laughter. Like,
we could see you guys from our seats the entire time.
We really
Alec pointed you out, and I was like, "Oh, you're both on your phone the entire time."
Yeah. Well, like,
I was mostly taking notes, and
Dalton
then, like,
was just trying to get Poon.
I was on Tinder.
But it was a great show, top to bottom. I had fun. Allie, I told you I was going to ask you this, and I'm going to ask you this. This was your first live event.
Yes.
How was it? What, did you enjoy it? What are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's much like any live event like that, like a sporting event or whatever. You do draw energy from the crowd, and that makes it a lot better. So if it's a good crowd, you're probably going to have more fun.
And it was a good crowd.
And it was. And a lot of the matches, they actually wrestled or they had fun with it. It seemed more like they were able to have free reign with some of the things they did.
Yeah.
Which was
different from Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the pay-per-view. So you enjoyed it. You will go back.
Yeah.
We need
a new day.
We need to take her to Ring of Honor if they ever come back through.
Or any wrestling
show.
Yeah,
if you thought WWE is entertaining, you won't know anybody, which is fine. You don't need to. You'll figure out by the crowd.
So we really need to take her to Chikara then.
Well, and it's
oh, like, no, because I don't want to go to a Chikara show. I'll be losing my mind the whole time.
Not only like from the crowd, you'll be able, but the stories that they tell in the ring. Yeah. Like, it's very exact. Like, whereas WWE can kind of get away with, we have a television product everyone sees, so everyone already knows who the good guy and who the bad guy is.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in ROH and, like, some of those more independent shows, they do a much better job of telling that story in the ring.
Yeah. Which is a lost art.
Yeah.
Really is a lost art. Yeah. Now, we can't sit here and talk about the live event all night, though. We've actually gone 35 minutes on it.
That's fine.
Which is fine, because we don't have a ton of other notes. The biggest news are going to come out of Raw and NXT.
Well, before we do that, before we get into the recaps of the week, I do want to point out the biggest thing.
I've got you. I'll feed you, babe. That's my next story. No, I was leading. I was previewing. But no, the big news of the week, I mean, the best news.
Right.
The best news is,
Bret Hart is officially cancer free.
Yes.
Oh, cool. I did not know about this.
For now. Well, I mean,
as of right now, he's in remission.
His surgery was successful. They think they got all of it. It looked like it was completely contained to the prostate. He said that he is going to have to go like every 3 months, I think, for the next couple years, to continue being tested. But the surgery was a complete success, and he is currently cancer free,
which is fantastic news.
Good
amazing,
news to hear,
great
yeah.
news. Yeah. Yeah.
Another medical related thing that I saw right before the show, and I don't know if you've seen this, that Kevin Nash
he tore his quad again.
No, he has. I guess he signed off that he's going to donate his brain,
his brain and his spine to
wow.
Because so it's for CTE.
Yeah. Which Chris Nowinski started.
Yeah.
I give Nash a lot of shit, but he's a brilliant businessman.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's being an organ donor.
Yeah.
Obviously, you would be that, you know?
But thinking about it, like, and I'm not saying that he was a slouch in the ring or he didn't work as hard, but like, I want New Jack to do that. Like,
no, that's just skewered data.
Yeah.
Well, like, but no, what I'm saying is, like,
you want someone that's really hurt themselves in the ring.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I mean, donate your quads to CTE. I know I make that joke, but like.
Well, no, I mean, it's his brain and his spine because he has suffered concussions and that's what he's donating it for.
But like, I'm just
saying. The fact that he might have been lazy, quote unquote.
No, I'm not saying he's lazy. I'm just saying, like, I want Mankind to do that. Like, I want the people that, like.
I mean, and he might, but.
And I think, but I think there's a, I think Mankind and New Jack are the exceptions to the usual.
The rule, And I mean,
Whereas Kevin Nash would be more of a basic wrestler.
He was more protected, is what I'm saying.
Well, and it's like Ozzy Osbourne's they've already said he's gonna get, like, shot into space or something to figure out how he hasn't died from all the alcohol and drugs.
But, that's very cool, Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you, props to Nash, yeah. Scott Hall also in the news.
His liver's gone. He's not donating anything.
Like, I don't.
It was just a tweet. He tweeted my pick for the Andre the Giant Royal Rumble is Titus O'Neil. To which Titus replied and said, appreciate it, but save it for someone who will be there.
That's
Titus' suspension got 30 days added to it for that. No. So that's the big important news. Now let's get on to the not so important news of Raw, which actually was very important, but in the light of Bret Hart's cancer, Kevin Nash donating his brain, and our experience at a live show, Raw seemed kind of trivial, but it absolutely was not trivial.
I mean, it had some big news coming out of it, but it was a pretty not great.
It wasn't a great show. It was newsworthy, but not good. The biggest story coming out of it was Dean Ambrose challenging Triple H for Roadblock, which just triggered Asa.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that. I'm very okay with it, but it's one of those things where it's, I don't like that. The ending of Raw was the same as the ending of Raw last week.
With Roman Reigns.
With Triple H savagely beating down the good guy.
Well, that's because Ambrose will get his heat back at Roadblock.
But I don't even care about that. It's last week. Triple H is actively getting cheered. Like, people are cheering him because they're beating up, because he's beating up Roman Reigns. Flash forward to this week's Raw. He's doing it to Dean Ambrose and he's getting booed out of the building.
And Ambrose is getting cheered like,
and how do they not, like, they have to know.
They do.
They have to realize, is that why they're keeping, like, I just read something that apparently Roman Reigns isn't gonna, like, he's gonna be off TV for 3 weeks.
I heard one.
Well, it's cause he just had no surgery.
Yeah. Dalton, you had your hand raised the whole time. I wanna.
Alright, what's Roadblock?
Equal opportunity. Oh, we're gonna talk about that actually.
Okay,
we'll save that.
Okay. I mean, there's matches built up to it.
I kind of had that after the NXT thing because the NXT also leads into
it. Is this going to be like Beast in the East?
It's a show.
Network special house show, but it's going to be before, it's right before WrestleMania.
That's what's called Roadblock, the road to WrestleMania Roadblock.
So.
And Ambrose is going to fight Triple H. Now, what happened was Ambrose came out. He challenged Triple H. It was a pretty good segment. I'm still not a big fan of them doing Dean Ambrose as that crazy.
Yeah.
Like, right when he was in the Shield, that was perfect Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Now it's almost cartoon Dean Ambrose, but whatever. Mm-hmm. The fact that he got his ass beat and then thanked Triple H for the match anyway.
Yeah.
Was hilarious. It was actually a funny moment. Then, like you said, Triple H comes out and beats his ass again.
Yeah. Which he does what he should have done to Roman Reigns last week because the opening segment was Dean Ambrose and Triple H.
Yeah.
And so they schedule him in a match against Alberto Del Rio. Mm-hmm. And then, so Triple H comes out in the middle of the match, does like a signal, and all of the League of Nations beat down Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And so then Triple H gets in the ring, he shakes their hand, he puts down Dean Ambrose, and then he leaves. And then Dean Ambrose like gets back up or says something, I don't even remember. And then Triple H comes back. He unleashes it. Well, was it that, or was it because it wasn't until after that he said, you want your match, you got it, and then he beat him down, and that's when he said, thank you.
Well, no, he came in, he beat him up, and then Dean Ambrose fought back.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
right.
When Triple H just went off on him and put him down, and then said, you want your match, you got it, left, and then Dean Ambrose called to the mic and said, Hunter, thanks.
Yeah, and then Triple H went back.
Which was a great moment.
Right.
It really was.
And it really put over Dean Ambrose as a guy who won't quit. Like, which was the story they're telling with Brock Lesnar, and...
If Dean Ambrose wins the title of Roadblock, which will not happen, we all know it won't, but that would be a great, great story, but it'll fuck WrestleMania.
See, but here's the thing, I think it would make WrestleMania better. Because you could even do, like, I don't know how much time is in between Roadblock and WrestleMania.
Roadblock's the 12th, right? Or the 13th?
Maybe.
It's 2 weeks in.
Okay.
Which means Allie won't be there for it, because she'll be in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
We'll talk later. And then WrestleMania is at the end of April. So about 2 weeks.
Okay. So, well, because say Dean Ambrose wins, which again, he will not. The match is already set for Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. Do you then have the underdog champ go up against the beast Brock Lesnar, who already has a match? Does Triple H get a rematch clause? Does Roman Reigns, who won the triple threat match, to become number one contender, but now Dean Ambrose is getting a title shot before the number one contender?
There's only one way they could do it. And it would make WrestleMania better. You know what I'm thinking?
Fatal four-way.
Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar, Triple H, and Roman Reigns. It is the only way to save Mania. Because as of this point right now, do you know what the main event for WrestleMania is?
Shane McMahon versus
the fucking Undertaker. And we're going to get to that in a second, too. I am excited about Ambrose versus Triple H. I think it's going to be a great match.
Mm-hmm.
I want Ambrose to win so desperately. But at this point, I'm tired of being lied to
It's the thing where we watch them and we think, oh, well, WWE is actually going to do something different and interesting. Oh,
and they
no,
don't.
The safe bet. And we always get our hopes up. So I'm going into the show just like, nope.
Safe bet.
Yeah, there's no way it's going to happen.
Especially because it's a network show.
And it's going to be an amazing show.
Yes.
Like Dean Ambrose versus Triple H is going to be a great match.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be really entertaining until the end where
Triple H wins.
Yeah.
And then it's like all that heat for Ambrose. Nowhere.
But
Roman Reigns will get it back for him by beating the game at WrestleMania.
And the thing that really bothers me about it is Dean Ambrose's whole thing right now is that he doesn't stay down.
Yeah.
He won't be beaten. He won't, like, he just won't quit.
Yeah.
You can't have that guy get pinned by another guy going into a match with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to look good for him.
Because it's like, he lost to Triple H, so he's probably going to go ahead. And,
well, the only way they're going to do it is
he won't give up, but he won't win.
Brock Lesnar is going to come out and beat him down.
So
I feel that's the only way you can do it.
So Dalton, crazy booking for the week.
All right.
What happened to
the Teach a Noob thing? That ended. We replaced it with Dalton's crazy booking of the week.
Well, it's because you hate my ideas for booking.
I don't hate you, Dalton.
You do hate my ideas.
Oh. Yeah.
Only the terrible ones. So, right. Yeah.
So, you have, let's do that fatal four-way. I really like that idea.
It's gonna happen.
And a McMahon in every corner.
No, just a fatal four-way.
Son of a bitch.
God
damn it. Instead, can we do a Wyatt in every corner?
Yes.
I'd
watch that.
And they still wouldn't win. No matter who's they back, they would still lose.
Somehow the guy that wins the title pins Bray Wyatt.
So anyway, you do the fatal four-way, and you have Dean Ambrose win it. This is important. This is super important.
That is important.
Dean, just happens the rest of the year. He just keeps retaining the belt. He keeps the title for a whole year. In the middle of that, after SummerSlam, he beats Roman Reigns 1-on-1 in a championship match. Roman Reigns, that's when he finally does his heel turn. Cause we need Roman Reigns to be heel.
I'm with Dalton on that.
I agree that Roman Reigns needs to be heel, but I don't think another 6 months of
a build up
is not going to
help. Booing at house shows.
So anyway, just go.
So, all right. So Dean Ambrose gets destroyed by Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins comes out. That's when he re-debuts and protects Dean Ambrose. doesn't become a tag team. They don't become the Y2AJ. Yeah. It's just Seth Rollins doesn't like that what Roman Reigns did. Seth Rollins clears them out because you know Seth Rollins is going to be a face. All right. So
I think he's right.
WrestleMania 31. WrestleMania 31. Seth Rollins beat
33.
You not letting me finish my sentence.
31 was last year.
You're not letting me finish my thought.
So they're going back in time.
Shut up.
That is stupid booking.
That is the worst.
So WrestleMania 31, Seth Rollins beats Roman Reigns, pins him for the belt. WrestleMania 32, Dean Ambrose pins Roman Reigns for the belt. We get pissed off Roman Reigns. WrestleMania 33, we finally get that Shield triple threat. And it would.
I'm fine with it being a Shield triple threat. Like, that's a match we all want to see. I don't want to wait a year for Roman Reigns to turn heel finally.
I thought
you wait 6 months for it to happen.
I also can feel the aneurysm that develops at the amount of eye rolling I will have when face Seth Rollins defends Dean Ambrose because he doesn't like that Roman Reigns turned heel on his friend.
I thought he was going to say that, Roman Reigns goes back in time and stops Seth Rollins from ever stopping.
No, but that makes
they're not Jakara. They're not Jakara.
That's really good. Like, that's good, like, long term because WWE makes us forget things. That would be really cool to bring up. Be like, well, my first brother beat me at WrestleMania 31.
Which it
my
would
second
be.
One beat me at WrestleMania 32. Can I do Shannon? I'm going for mine.
Can I do Shannon better crazy booking?
God damn.
So, four way match. Dean Ambrose win, or it's not a four way match. Dean Ambrose beats Triple H at Roadblock. Still has to fight Brock Lesnar for the title. Yeah. Roman Reigns gets screwed out of his title match. Then you have heel Roman Reigns that comes out and destroys Dean Ambrose and let them feud. Don't put it off for 6 months. Pull the trigger on Roman Reigns. If you're going to do something with him, do something.
And that's what I would
keeping
rather
him
see.
In limbo is just getting him booed.
Wouldn't it make so much more sense that say, so Dean Ambrose beats Triple H at Roadblock. The next night on Raw, Paul Heyman comes out and says that we have a signed contract that guarantees that Dean Ambrose will face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Roman Mania.
That's what they're going to turn it into.
So, no, they won't because Triple H isn't going to lose that title at Roman.
Not at all.
Triple H comes out and they're like, yeah, you know, you're right. So that's the match now. Roman Reigns is pissed off because now Triple H, by losing the title, has cost
his title shot.
His title shot. He's like, oh, actually, sorry, you know, it wouldn't make sense. Actually, it wouldn't be good. But them completely removing him is like, you know what? You don't get your title match. Then you have Roman snap on Triple H.
I was going to say, what if you throw even more fuel on the fire? Have Triple H go, but I'm going to exercise my rematch clause. Triple H versus Ambrose versus Lesnar. Roman's out of it completely. He's the only one out of it.
You can't do that because then what does he do at WrestleMania?
Fights Bray Wyatt because Bray Wyatt doesn't have an opponent.
Gag.
But Bray Wyatt doesn't have an opponent yet.
Yet. I don't know. But so anyway, you do. So you have Triple H is like Roman Reigns loses his title match at WrestleMania because, you know, it's a new champion. We've already had this match set. It's not good, but it would make sense to have then Roman completely snap on Triple H. They still have their match, but it's a grudge match instead of a championship match.
Just a good ass-whooping bloody
match. Dean Ambrose has to defend his title the next night on Raw. That's when Triple H does his rematch clause is the night after. Roman Reigns comes out to celebrate. That's when he turns on Dean Ambrose.
Either way, Roman Reigns has to turn now.
Very soon.
Has to do it. You are not going to get him over at this rate. Yeah. When they are booing, when they're cheering Triple H 1 week and then booing him the next just by switching people he's beating up.
Yeah.
Not a good sign.
You have to, I don't understand, like, they just.
Did Vince call them and go, hey, you guys around Cape Girardeau, how's it going? Did they cheer Reigns? Yeah.
Did they cheer that picture of Reigns we posted?
It was insane.
But so he,
We changed his name to The Big Show for a night. If you read the results.
Online. Loudest pop of the night picture.
So, yeah, I don't think Dean Ambrose, which, and there's still build up to it, so we'll be able to.
But Ambrose has no chance.
Yeah.
No chance in hell.
Right. Other thing from Raw, Vince McMahon calls out Shane. I don't know how much time we have left. And
not much. That's why I'm going to go through this real quick.
That's why I'm
trying to
go quick.
No, very
now
quick.
You're interrupting me.
Well, Divas 3-Way for Mania. It's set in stone already.
I mean, well, it's not officially been announced, but.
But they're moving there.
Is it Sasha, Becky?
Sasha and Becky pinned each other on Raw.
They pinned
each
other. And then on SmackDown, they had a rematch. Well, they will have a rematch.
Spoiler alert.
Charlotte attacks both.
So they're definitely setting up the three-way for that. And they did it in a way that keeps Sasha and Becky both semi-faces. Well, Becky's a face, no matter what. Yeah. Sasha's somewhere in between, and Charlotte's the heel. That's an interesting dynamic, and I'm curious to see where it goes.
Right.
It's going to be a fantastic match. New Day versus Y2AJ. New Day lost again, as always. But at this point, unless they put it on Mania, I think they'll keep the title. But they've got to put it on Mania.
Well, the championship, Y2AJ versus New Day for the WWE Tag Team Championships is going to be on Raw. Like this next Raw is when that match is happening.
And the only thing I can see is they're going to lose it that night and then win it back at Mania.
AJ and Jericho turn.
I think they cheat to win, or Y2J finally goes full heel turn. And...
But see, then there's no tag match for the WrestleMania, though. There's got to be a tag title match, and right now, Y2AJ are the only opponents.
Yeah, I mean, that could still
happen.
They
better pull the trigger quick.
Nope. You know why they do it? Because they lose at Roadblock. Well, I don't know. Never mind. JK.
I forgot they're at Roadblock.
Yeah.
Which we're going to get to a second. And yes, now, one thing before The Undertaker, though, that I just want to mention just so you can get mad real quick. The Bray Wyatt promo. Where he said he ran down of he does his Bray Wyatt thing of
all of the people that he's conquered.
He says, you either stand with me or if you're against me, you'll be conquered like everyone else. Who writes these promos?
Like, who has he conquered? He beat Daniel Bryan that one time. I think he cheated to beat, like, he
could. He beat Roman Reigns once, I think. Cheating.
I think he's won some matches on Superstars.
He had Dean Ambrose.
On 2K16, he's my champ.
He possessed that monitor Dean Ambrose tried to use to beat him.
I seriously, though, I wonder who is writing these promos, because they're written. They're scripted.
Yeah.
Clearly. So who's writing it?
Do they think that we don't pay enough attention, right, that they've lost everything always?
I'm assuming they think that just because they tell us that we'll believe it.
Yeah.
But we're not that dumb.
Right.
You cannot portray them as the new gods and have them lose constantly.
The new gods, so good.
And Bray Wyatt does not have an opponent at Mania. That is important, because I wonder who they're going to put him against.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but...
Fandango.
I'm thinking Big Show.
Well,
for some reason.
Speaking of Big Show, he beat Kevin Owens by countout.
Yeah. Which Kevin Owens beat him by countout on SmackDown the week before.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're building toward that match, which if Kevin Owens wins, fine.
If Kevin Owens hits a pop-up powerbomb on the Big Show, absolutely.
If Kevin Owens hits a pop-up powerbomb on the Big Show, I'll eat my hat.
He hit one on Mark Henry.
Okay, I take back the hat comment then.
So
he don't want to eat that hat.
Okay, let's get to the big thing. Undertaker.
Vince comes out, but Shane wasn't there.
No, he'll be on next week.
Vince comes out, completely puts over the Undertaker as, you know, being the most dominant force in WrestleMania history.
His dominant force. His destruction.
Yeah, flat out said his.
He comes out, grabs Vince by the throat, and says, "The blood of Shane isn't on my hands, it's on yours," and then leaves.
That's the explanation. That's all you need for WrestleMania, apparently.
Is that Undertaker doesn't care who he's going up against. He's just a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Which, that's actually fine, because that kind of is the Undertaker. Right. But I feel like when it comes to Vince McMahon, there needs to be a reason Undertaker would do it.
I do wish that he would at least, you know, and you don't even have to break the Undertaker's character, which has already kind of been shattered with that feud with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Of, like,
where he had to cheat to win.
The mysterious aura of, you know, the Undertaker. Yeah. You can, if you want to go back to doing that, that's fine. But you could, granted, there's still so much time until WrestleMania that they could still do.
They could change it around.
Right. Yeah. But so I just, you know, I've been working for this man for 25 years. Like, I respect him as a businessman, as a friend. So that's why I am now fighting for him.
No, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that, because that puts over Vince McMahon as a good person when they're clearly trying to make him a heel.
It doesn't matter. Triple H doing the crotch chops and getting cheered. Like,
it's true.
They only want to be booed when they want to be booed.
Well, why not?
And then every other time they come out like, no, we're not. It's not the character anymore. It's us for real. And then midway through they decide, oh, wait, JK, you are a bunch of hicks.
If they really want to put Undertaker over, like they are, mm-hmm. and they want to give him a reason, why not have Vince McMahon say, Undertaker, do my dirty work, you get a title shot. And then you can have...
Or something. Or you get a match against...
You can pick your opponent.
Yeah.
So you can do something. Give him a reason. Don't just go, the blood's on your hands.
Just be like, I want you to fight my son, so you're doing it.
Because I run the business.
I don't really like it either.
Because I don't remember The Undertaker ever going, okay, you told me to do it, I'll do it.
And also, going back to what we talked about...
He's a wizard,
though. Corporate ministry?
If they would bring that up, if he would have been like, I'm the higher power, you do what
I'm
I say.
I'm the higher power.
Undertaker would go, oh, shit.
And like, going
I
back
forgot
to
about
what,
that. I was in the angle.
Going back to what we talked about last week, Shane McMahon can do nothing to The Undertaker.
No, he cannot physically
hurt
him.
Short of actually like pulling out a knife and stabbing him six times, he still is only going to, he's still not going to be able to hit any offense.
Yeah.
Like, Undertaker, he'll be like Jason in Mortal Kombat. He'll just pull out the knife, throw it down,
and tombstone
him.
If Shane gets any offense in on The Undertaker, legitimately, if Shane punches The Undertaker and The Undertaker flinches, bullshit. I'm done with the match.
I will say too, Shane McMahon has been posting a lot of stuff on his Twitter and Instagram about working out and like how he's actually training with Tommy Dreamer.
If you're gonna train to fight crazy.
But it's still The Undertaker.
But
that's the problem.
It's The Undertaker, but why would they not bring that up on the show?
That he's training with Tommy
Dreamer?
That
he's like, hey, I'm going to learn from one of the craziest, toughest SOBs to ever step foot in a ring.
And maybe they will. Maybe next week on Raw, and Shane will mention it.
They could, and I feel like they need to.
He comes out in a House of Hardcore t-shirt.
Because
I would lose my shit.
That would be kind of crazy.
So what I think is going to happen by Vince McMahon's reaction is
this crazy Dalton booking again?
We're going to go
that
in.
Segment was over. We've had that segment.
You got to be a little bit more realistic.
All right, so you still have a bunch of people that you have signed, but you need to get down the pipe. And we've been talking about the Bullet Club for a while, and I even said that this would be a good segment to do it in. Mm-hmm. The way Vince looked, he looked legitimately scared. Because, yeah, he wants to beat Shane, but he doesn't want his son to die. I think that this match is going to be Undertaker's going to destroy him.
He better, first of
all. And then all of a sudden, we're going to have this music hit, and we're going to have two really big bald guys with biker masks on destroy Undertaker. Shane's going to get the win. And Vince McMahon's going to be like, because you need to retire a face. That's a thing. I think this is a good way to get Vince off TV for good.
See, that's so stupid. That's so stupid. Why would you even put him in the match then?
They didn't think it well. They didn't think it well at all. They could have done League of Nations like I said last week. That would have made perfect sense.
That's the thing that I've always hated whenever the bad guy, like, because it's usually a heel, whenever his backup lackeys finally come out at the end of the match to break up a pin or to, you know, save him from a beatdown. Like, no. Why wouldn't you just come out immediately? Like, do you just assume that, oh no, well, he hit him with the finisher twice.
Well,
he's gonna kick out of this one. Oh no, this is the one I need to save.
But to be fair, that's less of a complaint against what Dalton said and more of a complaint of the writing in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because I could absolutely see it, because they do it all the time. The face is out there. The other face waits until the very last second to come out and defend him. Why didn't you come out earlier? Or why did you come out at all?
But
see that happening.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
But it's not the same. But it's never. It's not like Rusev has the League of Nations beat down Neville for 20 minutes, and then like all of a sudden, oh wait, I feel bad about this. Hey, you knock it off. I'm going to beat you all up now. Like,
yeah, that's but there,
stupid.
But there's
that
a difference.
No.
But there's a difference between the League of Nations doing that and Rusev turning and Vince McMahon sticking the Undertaker on his son.
And then turning around and being like, oh, maybe I went too far.
Well, it's like he did with the NWO when he said, I'm going to bring the NWO in to poison the Federation.
The lethal dose of poison.
Yeah. So I could see it happening. I don't think it's good, but it could happen. It won't, but it could.
So if you're going to do if you're going to do the Balor Club in the middle.
And they're not going to.
If you're
going to
do the Balor Club.
I didn't even think of the Balor Club. That's way better.
If you're going to do the Balor Club at WrestleMania, all you got to do is you have Shane McMahon be like, okay, I'm ready for the match. I'm ready for the match. And then he just stands on the entrance ramp.
Yeah.
Lights go out.
He says,
weird music,
oh, by the way, here's my friends.
Weird music hits.
You have your force, I have mine.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have, my father has his destructive force. I also have mine too. I've spent a lot of time overseas and I've met a handful of people. And that's when you have.
Great Khali.
You have, exactly.
Comes out and beats The Undertaker, which he has done before.
The cell melts away and it's a Punjabi prison match.
Oh, I'm down!
And then you have the Balor Club just go in before Shane doesn't actually step foot in the ring except to pin The Undertaker.
That is the only thing he should do.
Yep.
So the question is, who do they have come out and beat up The Undertaker for Shane?
The Balor Club, we just said it three times.
Will not happen.
It won't happen.
It'll be someone established and it'll be someone we go bullshit. It'll be Kane.
Nope.
Could be Kane.
Nope.
Might be Kane.
Nope.
Could it be Kane?
John Cena.
Oh.
Zach would.
John Cena has.
You have to buy new pants for a month.
John Cena is sick of seeing Vince McMahon and the Authority ruin a company that he's put so much blood, sweat, and tears for, and he believes in Shane McMahon.
Sir, I think you just called it. I really do. Did you just think of that, or have you been planning that?
No, I've been the big rumor is that John Cena has been, like, training
for the Undertaker
so hard
fight, yeah.
For a WrestleMania match because it's big, big match John.
Okay, here's the question. Last question before we have to run through these last things real quick. Mm-hmm. Do you think they will debut Cena at WrestleMania as a surprise, or will he come out next week to set up the match? Because, okay, if.
Surprise.
I think it would be better, but if you're trying to sell WrestleMania, you want people to know that Cena's gonna fight The Undertaker.
Does it matter though? Because it's the network. It's only on the network.
WrestleMania?
Did you not read the thing?
That was a thing that, okay, so at the house show, and maybe it's just wrong information, but one of the signs at the house show that they put up on the screen said, WWE Network, the only place to watch WrestleMania.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't see that.
So I don't, so maybe they, you can still order it on pay-per-view, but I think it might be.
I think it would be stupid to just put it on the network. I know if they did that, it would be to drive numbers, mm-hmm. but you're going to lose out on money.
Yeah.
Especially if you book Cena versus Undertaker, because it's never been done as far as I know.
Nope. Well, I mean, they've had like a tag team match and I think early in Cena's career, yeah. but like they've never really gone one-on-one.
They could show the clip of John Cena's first match against Angle mm-hmm. when he goes backstage. Who's the first person that talked to him?
Taker.
Undertaker walks up and shakes his hand.
Yep.
Show that. Yeah. Full circle.
Jedi. The only reason I don't think it would be a surprise for them to do that, which I think it would be, as watching it as a fan, I would much rather it be like Shane McMahon just like stays out of the ring and lets Cena wrestle for him. But I think that they won't do it as a surprise is because I don't think that they want to risk, because Undertaker's fighting for Vince. Undertaker is the bad guy. WrestleMania crowd, no matter how new he is, or like how surprising of an entrance it is, I don't think they're going to cheer Cena.
They're going to half
fully,
and half.
Not fully anyway. And I think
Taker's not going to get booed.
And I think, especially if his opponent is John Cena, he's absolutely not going to get booed.
All right. We'll talk more about that leading into WrestleMania, obviously.
Because hopefully there will be more development on Raw. Yeah.
We still got 2 weeks before Roadblock and then a month before Mania. Real quick, I just want to talk about NXT. Austin Aries debuted. He did a segment. I want you to talk about that real quick.
So, because I watched NXT tonight.
Austin Aries debuted.
William Regal.
Dalton can't believe it.
William Regal's in the ring. Puts over Austin Aries, introduces him. As he's walking to the ring, slapping hands, Baron Corbin comes out, demolishes Austin Aries. completely blindsides him from behind.
I bet you imagine blew your load already.
Absolutely blindsides him, rips off his suit jacket, because he's wearing his NXT shirt and then a suit jacket. Rips off the suit jacket, rips off his shirt, which was already cut, had the sleeves cut off.
Of course.
Which was kind of funny.
It said Riot on it?
No. He rips off his shirt, looks at Regal, holds it up, and says an eye for an eye, throws it in Regal's face, and then just like walks back up the ramp.
So Austin Aries' first feud looks like Baron Corbin.
Which makes perfect sense, because it's a guy that William Regal's excited for, and Baron Corbin's entire gimmick is indie killer.
Yeah.
So he just, like, because he feels cheated out of an NXT title match, because it's Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe next week for the number one contendership match.
Yes, which I was going to mention, so thank you for plugging that.
They did a really quick side-by-side interview, like, what do you think, you know, what are you thinking? It was really good.
How you doing?
Both sides were really entertaining, and, like, it was a very short segment, but it was so good.
Speaking of how you doing,
mm-hmm. And so they announced, which another thing, I don't know if it was this week that they just did it or when it happened, but Dash and Dawson are no longer referred to as Dash and Dawson.
They're the revival.
Nope, they're the revival.
Oh, play church organ music behind me. Jimmy Swagger came back,
which makes a whole lot of sense. Like, because you had the same thought I did of it's a revival of just the old school, hard hitting, just tough guys,
80s Four Horsemen style wrestling. Yeah,
NXT which with had those a jackets of... and the towels and stuff, like it
very Arn Anderson.
Yeah, very brain busters, very enforcers.
I have Dash and Dawson have done a complete 180 for me. I was not a big fan of theirs, and then just these last few weeks, especially their feud with Enzo and Cass.
Same thing for me with Enzo and Cass. When I first saw Enzo especially, I thought, this is ridiculous. I hate this guy. Uh-huh. Like, and I'm a wrestling fan.
I did too. I was just like, oh, this guy's just obnoxious. And then, nope, I was wrong.
And now I'm just like, he's so good.
He's always entertained me.
But the big thing that comes out of that is at Roadblock, a WWE production, the revival versus Enzo and Cass for the NXT championship.
So now they are starting, this is the first time, as far as I know, that they've mixed NXT matches with WWE matches.
Wrong. Beast in the East, that's whenever Balor won the championship.
Yeah.
Shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Professor, it's all here.
Which...
I bet that's a hit with the ladies.
So,
I'm so sorry.
You're not right.
So the Revival, which again, I think that's really cool.
That is a sweet name.
And then one other thing I want to talk about just real quick is, because we haven't talked about it the last few weeks, the Vaudevillains have done a heel turn.
Really?
Question mark?
Yeah, they stopped smiling.
Because the whole thing is they had these weird,
I'm not joking.
They have had these weird vignettes where they stand there smiling with their music playing in the black and white, and then they slowly like go from smiling to like a scowl, and they're frowning. And the announcers come out, like they come out, they're doing the exact same thing. They're still playing to the crowd. Like, they don't even seem that much more aggressive in the ring, but they're feuding with the hype bros. And the announcers do a lot to say, like, oh, they're sick of appealing to the fans. They used to be, you know, they just like to hurt people. And now they're getting back to that. And it's like, but they're not doing anything to show it. So I'm really confused. Well, so the Hype Bros did a promo where they're like, you know what? These guys have been jerks. We're going to take it to them. And then they walk out. And then from behind the curtain, the sneaky, like, VOD villains are, like, smirking and, like, you know, like, literally doing the Montgomery Burns,
the
finger
stick. Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah.
They become Professor or the fucking bad guy from Sonic.
It bothers me because it's like, if
you said the Professor bad guy from Sonic.
What's his name?
Robotnik?
Dr. Robotnik? Or Eggman.
A fucking Professor.
But so it very much.
I hope that was on tape.
That was a good visual gag for the audio
because
podcast.
I love the vaudevillains and I think they would make a great heel tag team, but I wish they would just go full heel already. Like, instead of, they're still doing their,
you know. Stop teasing us.
They're still posing. They're still playing to the crowd as they did when they were good guys. So.
Right. I'm getting the finger here. So that's a sign to wrap it up. All right. I did want to mention one other thing about Sunny being mad at Edge and Christian for making a joke about her on their show.
Wait a minute.
Did they?
They made a joke with, I think, Howard Finkel. It
that's
said
not
something about if some pill she had to cure all these different things. And, Sonny called them fucking ugly Canadians who were just mad that I wouldn't fuck them when they first came into, WWE. And I'm thinking, I think Edge and Christian are just fine. Don't worry about them.
Yeah.
So that was my ridiculous, bit of the news. I want to thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Dalton has something else he'd like to say.
Well, I wanted to do a sign out because they did it for the sports show and I really liked it, but they plugged all of our Twitter, like they plugged their Twitters and I would like to do that for ours.
Okay. You can find, me, your host at, what is mine?
PZ85's
Mr. 100. That's PZ85S MR100. You can find me on Twitter. I just talked to my friend Zach Ryder earlier today about toys on Twitter.
Do we have to go back?
But is he following you?
No.
Did he private message you like Xavier Woods did Asa?
No.
Asa, who you can find at Asa W. Gray at Twitter. You can find me at Dalton Manch because I found the most original nickname. And Allie, you're going to have to say yours.
Oh, it's Alaniqua.
Allie, you're going to have to spell yours.
You want me to do it? Allaniqua.
Yes.
Just so you know, this is not a visual gag for the audio podcast. She's white. She's been white the whole time.
Very white.
Computer paper white. And yeah, so, and also we have the email addresses, podzilla1985@gmail.com.
Also follow us on Facebook. I got a kick. You can send me some dick pics. You can Snapchat me some dick pics, long as it's dicks. And we're all the people at this table are single, so hit us up on Twitter and, get a date with us.
If you see me on Tinder, swipe right.
Swipe right. You'll know it's him. Just look for
the sadness.
The expression of giving up on life. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you next week on another Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Asa, what?
Some stuff from SmackDown that I wanted to mention, but fuck it.
God. Well, go ahead.
So,
okay, we on the network. Fuck it.
Because on Raw, The Miz beat Dolph Ziggler in like 45 seconds. On SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler beats The Miz because 50-50 booking is infuriating. Rapid fire. The Dudleys the Usos get attacked by the Dudleys after they beat the League of Nations. So I think that's going to be the tag team matches. It's going to be that triple threat that we should have seen at the house show.
With the New Day.
New Day, Usos, Dudleys.
Makes sense.
Also, Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks versus Charlotte is officially announced on SmackDown.
Okay.
Charlotte attacks them, and then, which is the big news. And then R-Truth apologizes to Goldust in a backstage segment and says he wants to be a team, and Goldust shoots him down. Because that
I could not care less about this angle.
I know. I still just
if
want
it
one of
ends
them-
up in a WrestleMania match, fuck. I will find a concession stand to walk to.
we'll hit up DG.
All right, that's gonna do it for us as far as anyone. Unless any more breaking news?
No, we're good.
Y2AJ has a T-shirt now.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys for listening.
Breaking codes and... Oh, shit, I don't remember what it says.
We're going to see you next week, and also tomorrow on Tana Thursday. We'll have a decent show, maybe, and then other shows later this week and then also next week. So thank you guys for listening. Hit us up on our Twitters. Make sure you like us and Kickstarter. No, GoFundMe. No, what is it? Patreon.
GoFundMe. Oh, Patreon.
We have a Patreon. Support us. Buy stuff at Redbubble. Just listen to the show and enjoy it. That's all I want. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Dalton, take us out. No, Asa, take us out.
Why isn't it loading faster? Because it's got the T-shirt has a saying.
Do it again.
Dalton, take us out.
I got
Where? I'm low on gas and you don't have a jacket.
Wrong. Code breaking and risk taking.
Neat.